In this episode of Faith and Fame, I'm joined by actress Michelle Michenor, who went from background dancing for Rihanna and Beyonce to now being a leading lady seen all over TV screens nationwide. In this episode, we discuss how her celibacy led her to her husband, going against societal standards, and how her faith is the root to her skyrocketing success. This is Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Stay tuned.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining an episode of Faith and Fame. So excited to have you.
Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of this. Like, for real, thank you.
Of course. So, look, there's a lot that I want to cover, so let's jump right in. But
okay.
Before we do, for those of you who don't already know this powerhouse, Michelle is an actress most known for her outstanding role in Lethal Weapon. She started off as a professional dancer who's worked with the likes of Rihanna, Beyonce, and so many more. And outside of TV film, she has her own nonprofit organization called the Michenor Foundation, which we'll definitely jump more into later. And then lastly, she's a new wife. So congratulations on that.
Yes.
So excited. Yes. So, you know, mentioning you being a new wife, I really want to talk a lot about that because you did something that's so unorthodox in Hollywood, especially at the peak of your career when your career is just skyrocketing. You get married where most people would run from marriage because they want to enjoy the Hollywood lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think that's so beautiful. So, you know, in Hollywood where there's this idea that you can't settle down with somebody until you quote unquote make it, you make monogamy look so good.
Thank you.
Of course. So that's the first question. How has been a wife been in balancing such a tedious career, you know, with you being in the spotlight and everything is skyrocketing? How has that been juggling both?
Yeah, I guess I guess I'm a bit naive to what Hollywood standards are, you know, especially just with just who I am as a person. I don't really see standards or things like that. I don't really equate them into like my own personal equation when it comes to life. Like
right.
What other people are doing, per se. Mm-hmm. I just follow what I know, what I feel in my heart, and what I feel is going to work for me. A little bit about myself, you know, since I made the decision at a young age to pursue the performing arts in every facet, that's all I've been doing. So people may have known my name, let's say maybe 3-4 years ago, but Michelle has been at this since she was a little girl and has always put this at the top of everything, in front of everything. Mm-hmm. And as I got into my later 20s, I just kind of was like, you know, now that I am in this position and I see things are going in a certain way, what about life?
Mm.
What about traveling? What about healing certain wounds from my childhood? What about mending certain relationships with other family members? What about, you know, just other things that I have passion for outside of just this bubble of entertainment? Like, who are you outside of this? Because you've put this in front of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And once I kind of realized that and I was doing the whole relationship thing or situationship thing, we'll call it, you know, dealing with different guys who we weren't in a relationship, but we were doing relationship things, you know what that means. I just kind of was like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And I went down the path of celibacy and soul searching and wanting to just be even more connected to who I know I was called to be.
Right.
And in the midst of that, that is when I guess God just saw fit to bring my now husband into my life. And as he entered my life, it wasn't even on a relationship tip. He was just adding to who I was as a person. You know, he saw where I was going and he was helpful in so many ways, just on the business aspect of this industry that people who I had worked with or had known at that point didn't take the time to do. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's like when you see so many clear, definitive signs like that happening, and you see how your life begins to expand because it's either another person or the work you're doing on yourself, you have to go with that. And that's just what I was doing. So I don't know if maybe to the, I don't know what outside people think. I don't know if it's like, oh, it's blasphemy that she's getting married now, or this is going to hinder or hurt her career. I don't know if other people think that, but what I feel is that me as a person on the inside, that I'm expanding in such a way that I feel that I'm becoming more rooted in my work, and I'm becoming more freer in who I am because of this love, because of this union.
Wow. Yeah, you said mouthful.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
I want to touch on something that you said that was so profound, because a lot of people struggle with this, but you said before God brought you your husband, you committed to celibacy. So I
did.
About that some more. You know, obviously this is a show about faith, but also within, you know, entertainment, but sometimes that is one of the greatest obstacles for somebody. And I also feel that, you know, when you surrender that, I do think that it shows God that you're ready. So was that more of a move of you being sick and tired of the situationships, or did you feel that was something that God was really calling you to?
It was, for me, it was absolutely the situationships. It actually, I mean, I guess looking back on it and, of course, connecting the dots, you can definitely see how, like, just spiritually how it was absolutely helpful. But honestly, it came from heartbreak. It came from being sick and tired of the sick and tired. It came from, you know, realizing my worth and realizing that, girl, like, you're going places, and you can't have, you know, these men, not there was like a whole bunch, but even if it's one or two, you know what I mean? That's one or two too many if it's not who you're supposed to be with, or it's not who's adding to your life.
Right.
And it really came from a place of heartbreak. And honestly, I did it pretty much after my first film. So I was already, you know, doing things and very much like was on very much an uphill climb, if you will. But in the midst of that, I was just like, nah, I want to be right on this way, on this path. I want to feel good. I want to feel whole. I want to make sure everyone that's around me or who has any kind of affiliation with me is right as well. And so I was just like, I got to start with me, and I have to change some of these habits if I want other people to see me in a different way.
Wow.
So it came from really more so of a broken heart and disappointment and, you know, expectations that I put on someone who probably didn't even ask for it, you know, again, just being real with yourself, that I had to just be like, nah, girl, like, stop. And yeah. I made a vow to myself. I was like, the next time I lay down with someone, I want to be so solid and so secure in who this person is to me. You know, I want to feel safe. I want to feel that, you know, me giving my womb, I'm gonna have my children one day. This is real talk. Like, this is your, like, my womb.
Right.
I didn't see it like that previously. You know, I just started thinking about those things. Like, man, I do want to have a stable relationship. I do want to have children one day. I do want to have these things, all while still having a career. I gotta prepare for that. And I had to just make that decision. Like, you know what? No, legs closed. And I was to the point where I wasn't even accepting dates. You know, certain guys want to ask me out. I had to, like, just really zone in and focus on myself for a second before I even accepted a date.
Wow.
That's
commitment to yourself. You have to commit to yourself first before you can commit to somebody else. So you mentioned that when your husband came into your life, it wasn't even on a relationship tip. So you guys had established a friendship first, right?
Yeah, it was straight friendship. He was so kind and so welcoming and just so fun to be around. And he was a light. He was a light for me, and I was very upfront, though, in the event that his mind was elsewhere.
Right.
So this was very much first date. Again, I'm no kind of relationship guru or anything of this sort. I can just say what I did. And the first time we sat down for a date, if you want to call it that, I said that. I was like, you know, right now I'm in a space of just celibacy and on a journey of discovery within myself. So I'm not looking for anything serious, and I'm more so definitely not looking to be intimate at the moment. And oddly enough, he had just finished dealing with a back and forth situation and was like, I need to chill. I need to stop just, you know, kind of just dating around or whatever like that. So me saying that actually encouraged him and was a load off of him, because he was like, okay, cool. I can now be around this chick that I like and not feel like this pressure that she wants to make me her boyfriend or want to have sex or, you know, just take it to levels that I'm not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So me honoring myself then helped someone else, him, you know, see what is probably best for him in that moment. Or it was best for him in that moment.
Right. How important is it to be equally yoked with your partner? And furthermore, what does being equally yoked mean to you?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, like, well, I guess it just depends on your perception of equally yoked. And for me and my husband, we're really big on individuality, actually, within our union. We're very much aware that we still have our own separate journeys that we're going on. And what we're equally yoked on, if you want to call it that, is like the goal. The goal is, one, to always be on a journey of self-discovery, always be on a journey of healing yourself, always be on a journey of just wanting to go deeper within yourself and within your spirit. That is like something we both are very, very equally yoked on. And then we're also just very committed to the friendship that we have with one another. And with that being, like, when we have moments of discourse, there's certain ways that you're going to talk to your friends. And you talk to them like a friend, you know what I mean? And we see that, and it has really helped us when we do have moments of discourse. Of course, we want to have generational wealth. We have that same idea. We both are very much into finances and assets and, you know, just building a legacy, not only in our own right, but within the children that we're going to have together. Our views on spirituality and God is very much aligned. We know, and we very much so honor the higher power, the source that we like to call it, because God really is the source of all things. Mm-hmm. That's just, we're really big on honoring the source.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're, and of all the things, I think that is something that I love the most, just how we are equally yoked in the source, and knowing that there is a higher power, higher being that is working in our favor and within us, you know, within us. There is God also within us. And that's just having those same kind of ideologies, I find, is what is equally yoked for us in our marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's
beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
Of course, I admire, you know, it's evident when you see, you know, videos or pictures of you guys that it's more than just, you know, y'all are married, but you can see the friendship, you can see the fun, you can see that you guys really are best friends, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I prayed for when I was, when I made that decision at that time. I was just like, I want a whole new level of best friend.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's what I want. Like, I want someone I can be just completely free with. Like, the same way I would be with my homegirls, I could be with my husband. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like, and I also, because I had an idea of what I've seen as marriage to that point, where it just seemed like women had to either, like, scale back or scale down, or it just seemed like they weren't as fun or couldn't do as many things or whatever the case may be, I just definitely prayed for, like, man, I just pray that if God sees fit for me to be married, like, I just hope that it's a person that I can just be myself with, like, fully, you know, every quirky, weird part of me, like, you know, that I could find someone that I can, and that I could be that with, and someone who understands that I am a woman who does sometimes need space, who wants to travel and be gone for a week on her own thing, and, you know, someone who's there but not too on my back, and, you know,
right,
And I was like, how is that ever going to happen? Because I feel like we change so often as people, and that just felt so complex. And I'm like, how is that ever going to happen? And so I found someone where I was able, we're able to set like our own rules for our marriage and what we want it to be. And it really isn't just pictures and videos that you see. You're seeing hard work. You're seeing a couple that did, you know, couples therapy that goes to therapy individually. You see two people who are equally yoked in the idea of always just wanting to know and go deeper within themselves so that we could be better for each other. Like, that is like our commitment to ourselves and then to the union, you know?
Right. That's beautiful. One last question about, you know, you in terms of being a wife.
Yeah.
You work in entertainment and your husband does as well. You both are actors. How did you both handle, because sometimes, you know, it happens intentionally or unintentionally, but sometimes we can get into the space where it can become a competition. You know what I mean? Where if one person is booking and the other person is like, yo, my phone hasn't rang in months. How do you guys, you know?
Yeah, how do we deal with that? You know what? I think, I mean, honestly, I guess we're just in the midst of dealing with it. We haven't had, as of yet, and, you know, we'll be a year in October, so we haven't had, as of yet, a situation come up where there was any kind of jealousy. And I think because we, of course, naturally are kind of also in two completely different lanes within the industry, it's like I can't play a role that he's playing. He can't play a role that I'm playing. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? That hasn't come up, at least not for me. Let me not speak for him. At least not for me. And he hasn't brought it to my attention. So that's not really something that we've had to, I guess, directly deal with. And what I will say, though, is that, you know, moments where I was working and he's not, that he is always still working, if that makes sense. Like, it's, you know, and I think that also is what doesn't make it seem like he's not, in a way, like, because he's always writing a script or taking meetings with different people to help produce this or pull this together. And, you know, and like, he's always just elevating himself constantly, that I don't know if we've ever even had the opportunity to sit and be like, oh, well, I'm actually on Lethal Weapon right now and you're not on a show right now. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because he's just always continuously working. We just recently actually shot a pilot together. We executive produced and he created it and he was the lead in it. And working together in that aspect was a great learning experience for us and how we work together. And things like that. But I would say for couples, maybe if someone's listening out here, if one's kind of up and one's down, I guess maybe by numbers or financially or whatever, I would say to always encourage to still be creating, always encourage to still be learning, you know, because in that way you feel like you're still working. If you're working on your craft or working on set, you're still working.
You know? Right. Yep, exactly. Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's tell me about the Michenor Foundation.
Yes. Okay, so again, when I was on my voyage of discovery of myself, I went to Uganda and I was supposed to go just with a family member, a cousin of mine who does work out there. And I ended up finding my way into teaching a class, not me searching for it, of course, it's just how it was aligned. And at that moment, I just was like, wow, well, since I'm very much honing in on my acting now, this is a great way for me to still honor my love for dance and all the other aspects of the arts that I love. So I created the Michenor Foundation because I just was like, well, I want my name to have a legacy within itself far long after I'm gone. And it's a performing and visual art camp. And then we do it in Skid Row. We do it in Uganda. I leave on Thursday for India, actually, to do it there for the first time. And the goal is to have a performing arts center downtown Skid Row. And I hope to create so much of a blueprint that it can just be different schools or charters around the world.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
It's tough.
How long has the foundation been a thing?
Well, I started in 2015. I didn't start the actual 501c3 until 2017. I kind of just needed to know, like, what I was doing and if it was going to be a consistent thing, you know, we're kind of really zone in on what exactly our mission would be and our focus. And so, yeah, 2017 is when I officially, like, did the paperwork for it. And now it's trying to transition into finding, like, a home base, which hopefully will be downtown.
And how can we get involved? What can we do to assist or be a part of the foundation?
Yes. Just go to themissionfoundation.org, and there you can find all our information. Of course, any kind of financial donations is incredibly helpful, but I'm going to just go ahead and put it out there. Any grant writers, any people who know how to do great fundraising and fundraising ideas, if you feel like you could be of service, please contact us. contact@themissionerfoundation.org is our email. And, you know, tell us what it is that you do. If you're a dance teacher, your art teacher, a voice teacher, a music teacher, and you want to give back in any capacity, please email us. We would love to have you. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's amazing. And as if the list of your credentials wasn't already long enough, tell us also about your podcast.
Yes. Okay. So I have to actually apologize to my listeners of the podcast. It's called Wife-ish. And I have to apologize because I haven't had the time, honestly, to honor it and love on it in the way that I would love to. And it's several reasons. One, I have obviously I'm doing it all myself, which I'm sure you probably.
Oh, girl, I know.
That thing ain't no joke. We trying to edit people's sounds. And,
okay.
You know, you trying to put a little music on it. You trying to make it different and fun and not monotonous.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole thing.
It is.
So there's that. I try to say zero excuses. So I will say that I haven't really figured out a rhythm for a good time frame for it in my life yet. So that's that. And then also, too, there is a point in my wifehood, mostly like during this summer, maybe from April to even up till now, where we were as a family just dealing with the kind of blended family situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was becoming a high conflict situation. And I just felt like I needed to be all in that and really observe what I needed to learn and grasp from it within my marriage and also just co-parenting with my stepkids and like their mom and like just figuring out what all that was, because it was also new to me, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I did like my last episode is about stepmoms, and I had one before that, and so I just was like, okay, not only, I mean, I love Wife-ish and I have such a great response to it, and I told myself when we get back from India, I need to make it like a point to get back to that, because it was such a therapeutic release for me. But during that time, I was like, I don't think I can do any episodes right now because my head is really just really in what we're going through right now.
Right.
And trying to navigate through that so that I can even have more wisdom to share when I get back on my podcast. But ladies, I got y'all.
Yeah.
Wife-ish. And the point of Wife-ish is to just say that, like, the reason why I came up with it was because, and it's like, if I was to say how it actually sounds, it's kind of like Wife-ish. And I say that because I still so much feel like myself. Like, it's weird. Like, obviously, I'm married, but I still be having, like, a hot girl summer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Yes, be true to yourself.
You know? Yeah, and I'm like, this is different from what I've seen. This is different. This is different, and I don't know if it's, you know, because we're millennials, you know what I mean? And then there's, like, Generation X behind us. But it seems fun and lively. It doesn't seem so like, oh, you're married now, and now, like, no. Like, I still have trips with my girlfriends. I still, you know, sometimes I'll go out and my husband's not with me, and like, you know, of course you still need to attend to who you are as a wife, but it didn't feel so stale and boring.
Right.
as people made it out to be. So I'm like, wait a minute now, I gotta let my sisters know that, like, it's actually kind of fun over here.
Right. That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? So that's really what it is. And I've had a lot of guests who have been teaching me things, you know what I mean? So it's not just me speaking on my experiences. I'm bringing in guests that I feel like I admire who they are as wives, and we just talk and we be chatting it up, girls.
I think that's amazing because you hit on the fact that when you're married, you don't have to lose yourself.
Yes. You don't. I've felt more free. One, since I made that decision that I was telling you about earlier, but even more so since I've been married, been more free to be myself. And a lot of times, like my husband, if I get in those moments where I'm second guessing me or like where I am and maybe even comparing my journey to other people, my husband's like, yo, like, just do you, be yourself. You know who you are. And it's like, oh yeah, I do. Okay. You know, like I thank you for asking that because that lets me know that I definitely need to hop on it and make it a part of my schedule and really put some time and energy into it because I want more sisters to know that it's fun and it's not just, oh, I got this husband on my arm. Like, it's really fun, like for you, like self-reflective fun, like expanding fun, growth fun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I feel too because, you know, even though it's called wife-ish, I think women like myself who is preparing for marriage can take something away from it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, it's so crazy to me because I was always, and that's another reason why I started it, because I was always a single friend. I was a third wheel, fifth wheel, seventh wheel. You get it? Nice.
Right.
And yeah. I would just be up there in the mix with everybody just together in long relationships or, you know, getting married. And I, again, that was in a time where my career entertainment was just everything. I just needed to be in a class, either dancing or acting or on a set or whatever. That was all my life. You know what I mean? So I also was like, oh, maybe it's for me. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Right.
And then when I looked up, it was like, no, I want companionship. Like, who are you kidding? You know you want companionship.
Of course.
Speaking
of your career,
you know what I mean?
What can we expect to see from you next? What's next for Michelle?
You know what? I did an incredible film that was written by Yvette Nicole Brown called Always a Bridesmaid. Huh?
I said shout out Yvette.
Shout out to Yvette. YNB is what we call her. That's her Twitter, at YNB. But she wrote this incredible film, and I've always wanted to do a romantic comedy, and they asked me to be a part, and it was such a beautiful and amazing opportunity, and it just felt so good and felt so right on that set. It's all like young, black, rising, you know what I mean, actors like myself, and it was just so good and so fun, and it reminded me of like The Wood, or you know, when all of our folks that we look up to, you know, how they were when they were younger and they got into a movie together. And
right.
It kind of had that special feeling to it. The Best Man is what I was thinking about. The Best Man. And I really feel like, obviously I haven't seen any final edits, but I feel like we created such a beautiful potential classic. And so that is coming out next. I can't tell you the exact date, but I do know they're starting like a film festival circuit, actually starting this weekend. So they're doing that. It's called Always a Bridesmaid. And then I also did a Hallmark film, which, by the way, I just always felt like every actor should at least do like a Lifetime or Hallmark film, just be like for the culture of the fact of like,
right.
Sundays when your grandma and your mom would just be sitting at home watching Lifetime or Hallmark all day.
Right.
So I got to do a quick little cameo, but it was super fun in this Hallmark film, which will be coming out during the Christmas time. So I'm excited to see that. And I agreed to do that because I was like, let me just get in a different space. Let me get in a different demographic. Let me, you know, meet new people on this set. I've been on Lethal Weapon for 3 seasons and I kind of only know these people. And I wanted to branch out and meet new actors and producers and directors and such. And then another recent thing I did was a short film called Augustus. And I played oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I'm like losing my words right now. I played a woman by the name of Anne. I'm trying to also like not give up too much information, so that's why I had to retract. Sorry, listeners, bear with me. The short film, just bear with me, child. I'm gonna get it together. This short film called Augustus, and I got to play Anne, and it was just a beautiful experience. It was a period piece. We got to shoot in Virginia. I got to wear like 1840s styled, you know, wardrobe and
oh, cool.
My natural hair. Yeah, it was all Victorian, and it was just super cool and amazing. And that, because it is a short film, more than likely it'll definitely just be in the film festival circuit. But yeah, it was just super fun. And yeah, so Always a Bridesmaid, I don't know if they're doing any kind of theatrical releases. They're kind of keeping it hush. I'm like, so what's the deal? But I know for right now, is it going to be in theaters or not? I hope so. But if not, I'm sure it'll be on some kind of platform or something.
Right.
So that's what I did recently. But as far as moving forward, girl, I'm auditioning. I had an audition today. I had one yesterday. I had a couple last week.
Yeah.
You know, I am really big on being honest when people ask those questions about what's next and being okay with saying, I'm not sure, I don't know. I pray that it's aligned. Mm-hmm. I pray that it's, you know, it has my name all over it. I pray that I work with incredible people, and I pray that it's received very well, and, you know, that it helps me grow as an artist. But I'm in the midst of right now trying to find that next home, if you will. I definitely want to do another series.
Okay.
I want to be on a show again since Lethal Weapon is officially done. I definitely want to be on another show. And that it just hasn't come as of yet, but I'm claiming and declaring that I will be back on the Tizoob doing something, girl.
The beauty about being so honest and transparent about that is that because you just released it from your mouth, now it's coming to you. You know, I'm big on like manifesting like crazy. So
it's important. And that's where, you know, the name of your podcast is Faith and Fame. And that's where that faith comes from. It's, we've chosen a field where you have nothing to stand on pretty much, but faith. There's no stability in this. Even when you're on a show, you can't guarantee people are going to watch it every week. You can't guarantee you're going to get, you know, Grey's Anatomy type of seasons where you're on for 25
seasons.
Right. Or, you know, films that are incredible that maybe just don't do well at the box office. Or, you know, it's just a constant thing. I went to an audition today and I saw someone who, to me, shouldn't even have to step room in an audition room anymore.
Wow.
So, girl, and I literally was like, wow. I my chin almost dropped to the floor. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like faith is the number one thing to stand on, and then the preparation part, work and preparation to follow up on that faith. You can't just be praying and not doing nothing.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't really work like that, but yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you. But before we go, the last thing I ask is that you close us out. Just a word of encouragement or empowerment to just carry us through the week, whatever's on your heart, whatever you feel led to share. But give us something.
What can I give you? Prepare. Prepare for the reward. Prepare for the reward. That's
good.
Be prepared. Just prepare, because that's what you can control. You know, if someone were to call you tomorrow and it's your dream job and it's everything you've ever wanted, are all your affairs in order?
Wow.
Are your clothes packed right? Is your house not a mess? You know, your bank account cool? You know what I mean? Are all your affairs in order? You have things lined up in the event you get that call tomorrow. And I'm speaking to myself, too.
Yes.
Be prepared. Be prepared for the reward, because any day it could come.
Wow.
Any day. Yeah.
That's a word. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, girl, for taking
Thank you.
Yeah, that was
And
beautiful.
Let me just say, this is awesome what you're doing. I pray nothing but abundance over this podcast and your life and your career. You know, we don't get to obviously see each other in person often, but when I do get to see you sometimes, depending on the algorithm of Instagram, I see a light in you, and just continue to move forward in what you feel for yourself and your instincts. You got it. You know what to do. So act accordingly.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome so much.
Praying about today. So
yes, come on, confirmation. Yes.
Thank you so much. Well, I pray the same for you. I love seeing you skyrocket and soar, and I'm expecting nothing but more great things that God is going to do in you, through you, and for you. So
thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and we will chat soon, girl.
All right.
Later. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Be sure to subscribe and make sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. See you next week.